All right, what are you looking at today, Taryn?
Still the Fairphone. And in conclusion, you may want to buy this one or you may not.
In my review a year and a half ago, I described the Fairphone 5 as a fair phone. Not a great phone, but a fair phone. The co-founder took that personally, issuing a response that came right out of the Linus Sebastian textbook for how to handle criticism.
Thank you, Linus. They fired me.
With that said, there are some fair points that he made about his phone, and some fair points that he acknowledged that I made, and I'm hoping that the Fairphone 6 is going to find a middle ground between, well, the sustainability, not to mention ethical production, as well as longevity that they're promising, and the day-to-day usability that I'm asking for. Ooh, it includes a cute little iFixit screwdriver with in-handle bit storage. Did it only come with the one bit? Yeah, makes sense. I mean, if it's the only one you need, it's the only one you need, baby. Kind of spins. Almost as good as the top of the LTT precision screwdriver from LTTstore.com. It does make their point really well that a major focus of the Fairphone 6, and in fact, of every Fairphone, is on repairability and sustainability. Allowing any of the 12 major components that can be replaced in this phone can be done with just one screwdriver bit. Super cool. Ooh, you know what else is cool? Modular interfaces. This little silicone-y style card holder. Eh? A little something like that. Eh? And also this finger loop. Very cool. Hey, look, Braille on the packaging. You like to see it. Or, well, feel it. I'm not fluent in French, but is cordon de téléphone really the French term for a lanyard? And like, wow, what is this thing? It's really big. Fashion statement, maybe? Or some other kind of statement. Linus, don't piss us off. Or else. There's also a protective case. Yep, that's a phone case. And as always, that word, fair, is at the center of their entire design and production philosophy. They claim that over 50% of the materials in the Fairphone 6 are fair or recycled, that they are 100% e-waste neutral, and is built using green energy. It includes a SIM removal tool, and if you're not a reviewer, that's about all you get in the box. Now we just have to figure out if it's a phone that anybody would want to use. Right out of the gate, I like what they've done with the ID. It's clean. And that's good because you're gonna be using this thing for a flipping long time. Fairphone promises 8 years of software updates for security and 7 major Android iterations, which I suspect is somewhat at the mercy of Google. Like if Google were to switch to a once every 3 year cadence or something like that, I'm sure Fairphone's not gonna support this thing for 21 years. We've got a SIM tray at the bottom that contains a pretty cool surprise. One moment. Dun, 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 dun! Look at that. See? A SIM tray. And then on the other side where there's room in basically every phone these days, they just choose not to put it in. Micro SD! That's right, my friends. Instead of having costly storage upgrades, the Fairphone comes with 256 gigs of storage, and then you can put whatever size micro SD card you want, up to like 2 terabytes, I think these days they go up to. On the bottom, we have a USB 2 Type-C port, as well as our speaker port and a mic port. Over on the right, we get the power button, which has a built-in fingerprint sensor. You love to see it. As well as the lime button. Oh, okay. So it's a slider. We'll have to have a look at that a little bit later. Noise-canceling mic on the top. And volume rocker over on the other side. Oh, actually, ooh. I like the way they've done this. Normally, I'm not that into the opposed lock button and volume button. It's nice when you're trying to hit a shortcut, like, you know, trying to take a screenshot or something like that. But it's not that great when you're going to adjust your volume and you accidentally mash your lock button. But by having this flush, not recessed, but flush, it's pretty easy to landmark the volume buttons and not accidentally mash the other side. Around on the back, we've got a 50 megapixel main camera along with a 13 megapixel ultra wide and a depth sensor, as well as a dedicated flash. And, oh, the front is where things get pretty interesting. Like its predecessor, the Fairphone 6 features an OLED display, But unlike its predecessor, it reaches up to 120 hertz and goes as low as 10 hertz for power savings, and can reach a peak brightness that Fairphone claims is about 1400 nits, but from what we found, actually vastly exceeds that. We saw as high as 2000 nits in the adaptive display profile with auto brightness enabled, which is a very decent result for a modern smartphone. Not class leading, but very, well, fair. Maybe even good. Could it be a good phone this time? We should probably change the display profile right away before I judge it, because I can see the yellow cast that you guys are describing. That is bleh. Colors. Ah, yes. Thank you. Adaptive, definitely more betterer, and also really appreciating the upgrade to the 120 hertz display. Using the device already feels snappier, and I haven't even really done anything with it yet. Which I guess brings us perfectly to one of my other issues with the Fairphone 5, because for me, yes, obviously it is noble and admirable that you want to build the fairest possible device, but it has to serve the purpose of the device in the first place, and both battery life and performance of the Fairphone 5 were major problems that seemed to stem from the use of a not really smartphone-oriented processor. Now, Fairphone made that decision because it offered very long support, and that was what enabled them to give a nice long software support window. But since the Fairphone 5 was released, Qualcomm has actually, and the industry at large, has come around to the idea of longer software support. So this time around, we get a Snapdragon 7S Gen 3, which, okay, is not the latest and greatest flagship, but it is actually a smartphone processor and does help the Fairphone stay somewhat within spitting distance of at least a modern budget smartphone like the CMF Phone 2
Pro
from nothing. Yes, that is a phone that costs a third as much. And if we put the Fairphone 6 up against something that is more price comparable, like a Samsung S24 family phone, it really lags behind. But I still consider this to be an upgrade, raising the question, would you really even want to be using this 7 to 8 years from now? But hey, progress is progress. As for the rest of the specs, we get Bluetooth 5.4 LE, Wi-Fi 6E, which, yeah, isn't the latest gen, but I think 6E is lots for pretty much anything you do on a smartphone, and about a 4400 milliamp hour battery, which could be a sticking point for some folks, but I think what I would rather highlight is the improvement here. Thanks to their use of a considerably more power efficient processor, they went from about 10 hours in our media playback battery longevity test for the Fairphone 5 to about 15 hours. That's a massive improvement. So I guess we don't have to go outside and use our phone less. We can just use our Fairphone more. That's good. Love to see it. Not as much as we could use another phone. That's still considerably behind both of our comparison devices, the modern budget phone, as well as our, you know, generation and a half old flagship that's priced the same. But it's at least crossing into the realm of like, yeah, I could say with a straight face that this is an all-day battery life phone. Anywho, the reason that I opened it up is I wanted to show you guys just how flipping easy it is to get at the battery in this thing. Yes, it costs you a little bit of IP rating. So I think it's IP55. Is that correct? Meaning that it's suitable for use in heavy rain. But unlike a lot of modern phones that are glued shut and usually feature an IP68 rating, you're not going to be able to just hang out in the pool with this thing and know that if it falls in, it'll probably be okay. Like, this is it. That's the internals. There's no seals. It's not even that thick, although I feel like my perspective has been skewed a little bit by that camping outdoorsy phone that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. That thing was wild, dude. And the battery's out, just like that. Is that gonna cost you a few milliamp hours? Which, by the way, we need to just get rid of that as a measure of battery capacity. Is it gonna cost you a few watt hours? Yeah. But how easy was that? That's flipping awesome. Interesting. I've been calling this the wrong thing the whole time. You guys didn't even notice. This is not the Fairphone 6. This is the Fairphone Gen 6. Horrible. Just call it Fairphone 6, please. If I have to type out Gen 6 anyway, then just call it Fairphone 6. This is like when Apple released that stupid laptop that they just called MacBook. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Anywho, I like this. They take a realistic approach to what most people are going to be comfortable doing. So instead of having, you know, every little board and ribbon cable broken out separately, it's just battery, display, top unit. The earpiece, the loudspeaker, and the USB-C port can all be interchanged individually. Great job, Fairphone. Got a broken port? You get some, you know, some water or sand or earwax or whatever in there. Boom. Just pop that up. Throw a new one in there. You are G2G. Flipping love to see it. Boom. Just like that. Put in a new USB port. That and the screen are going to be your most common parts that you're going to need to replace. Speaking of the screen, I don't think I mentioned before, it's using Corning Gorilla Glass 7i compared to Gorilla Glass 5 for the previous Fairphone, so that's another nice little upgrade. Now that I've got it put back together, let's pop into the camera here for a moment. Oh, wow, that's a contrasty experience. Hold on a sec. It's worth noting, interface-wise, that they claim a very stock Google experience, which can sometimes be a good thing and sometimes be not as good of a thing. I personally don't love the newer style super low density interface up here, but to each their own. Oh, wow. Okay. That is very flat. Why is it so flat? It's weird because you can tell they're doing some processing to achieve it. Because my picture of that screen is super, vibrant. It's amazing how different the preview looks from what it actually craps out. That is some of the least pleasing bokeh that I have ever seen on any camera ever. See that difference? Just taking the shot from a slightly different perspective, how washed out the skin tones are in this one.
Now for my classic Android judder test. iPhones just tend to handle video recording a lot better, especially when panning.
It does have optical image stabilization, at least for the stills camera, so maybe the selfie camera is really good, though. It is 32 megapixels. I don't think I mentioned that before. That's a lot of megapixels on a selfie camera. Very usable. Am I that ruddy? No? Are you sure? Because I look a little ruddy. It's worth noting that these are the kinds of issues that only really come up in day-to-day use, so if you're feeling like this is a lot more positive than my coverage of the Fairphone 5 last time around, it's probably because I was actually daily driving that thing. Some of the things that really bothered me about it were daily use problems, like the notifications being either completely silent, extremely loud, or slightly less extremely loud still. So make of that what you will. This is meant to be an unboxing with some elements that would normally be included in a review, but it's still an unboxing. Speaking of elements included, we did measure charging time and found that Fairphone's representations were accurate. You can get about a 50% charge on a 30-watt charger in under 25 minutes. We measured 22, I think. That's your leafy greens right there, because it's salad. Should be stereo, right? Yeah, that's a pretty big earpiece speaker to not be amplified. It is. That is one mid-ass speaker. Yeah, it gets pretty loud, which is good. Kind of makes me want to use my Bluetooth headphones. Oh, that's something I didn't really mention earlier as we were doing the physical walkthrough. In spite of having microSD storage, which was one of the big features that phone enthusiasts lost over the last several years, it does not have a headphone jack, so you will still be stuck with either a USB-C adapter or with Bluetooth headphones. Oh, there was one more thing that I wanted to look at. The English button, the limey one. This is, what do they call this, moments? Basically, what you do is you create a moment, I'm gonna call it family time, and then you decide which apps you can access during that moment. So I'm gonna say that I need my camera. I'm allowed to listen to music during family time. Oh, photos, clock, so I can set game timers and whatnot. You get five apps. can choose a background. These are so different from each other. And then that's it. When you're in this mode, you're in this moment. And you can, like, take pictures with your kids, or you can, you know, set a timer for their video games, or you can look at photos together, but you won't be interrupted by anything that is not for that moment. Now, the briefing points did say that I was allowed to add specific contacts even to moments, but I'm not seeing that. Are you guys? Oh, here we go. There you go. Allowed contacts. So you can say only starred contacts. You can go in and determine who are your starred contacts. So you can even determine who is allowed to call you and interrupt during that particular moment. Notification settings. Oh, someone who calls multiple times, it'll allow them through, because that would indicate maybe that something's an emergency, even if they're not a starred caller. And flipping into a moment is as simple as sliding the line button right here, and flipping out is as simple as sliding it back. Honestly, the fact that it's so simple to slide out of a moment probably would make me less likely to actually adhere to the things that I'm supposed to be doing in that time, but I can see why they do it this way. The last thing you want to be is a barrier to your customer using the device the way that they want to use it. So it's still on you to have the discipline to stay in the moment. Speaking of barriers, one of my other major criticisms of the Fairphone 5 was, of course, the price. When you compare it to what you can get at that price point in terms of phone functionality, it's pretty tough. It's not like they don't have a value proposition with the whole fair materials and the long software support, but especially now that more mainstream devices are also offering long-term Android support as well as security software support, that has become less of a compelling selling point. And I think basically it comes down to your interest in fair materials. Actually, one of the things that's new with the Fairphone 6, which, by the way, I'm going to continue to call it, this whole Fairphone Gen 6 thing, that doesn't work for me, is that they are apparently sourcing ethical gold, which I only recently became aware of all the mercury, like tons and tons of mercury that's being dumped into Amazon rivers by illegal gold mining operations, because it makes it much easier to get the gold out of all the crap. It just like pulls the gold out, combines with it, and then it can be extracted. Well, that mercury just gets like dumped into the rivers. It's causing birth defects and infecting groundwater. It's like one of the deadliest toxins known to man. Mercury, super not cool. So ethically sourced gold, I'm into it. I'm also into you subscribing to Short Circuit.